Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray, to speak with you, to listen to you. And we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful, that we truly spend it with you. And we have asked the help of our Immaculate Mother. And today, as we pray about the virtue of chastity, we go especially to her. When the angel appeared to her to announce her mission to be your mother, to bring a son into the world, she asked that question, "How can this be, since I do not know man?" She was a virgin. She intended to remain a virgin. How could she have a son? And she was told it would be by the Holy Spirit. And immediately she accepted. Mary is model of all the virtues, as the Second Vatican Council says of her, model of the virtues. And what a model of this virtue of chastity. The Curia of Ars says, "A saint has compared those who have kept their hearts pure to the lilies that, rising heavenwards on their tall stems, fill the air with fragrance. The mere sight of them makes us think of purity. Even so, the Blessed Virgin inspired with purity all who looked at her." And we can understand that, to look at Our Lady and all of that beauty, all of that purity, and she would inspire purity in all who looked at her. In Saint Joseph, married to the most beautiful woman who ever lived, and helped by her chastity, by her beauty, to live that virtue that he himself was committed to living. Lord, help us to understand, to live this important virtue. It's not the most important, we know that. Charity is, love is, and of these three, faith, hope, and charity, the greatest is love, is charity. But chastity is important too. What is chastity? It is traditionally defined as the virtue which moderates the use of sexuality according to right reason. It's part of temperance, related to the pleasures of the flesh. And Lord, you have given mankind that gift of sexuality to be used according to right reason, meaning to be used in marriage, in acts of love, open to life. Because in that context, you give us that awesome gift of procreation. Husbands and wives have that possibility of bringing into being someone, not something, someone who before did not exist at all. And now there is a new human being in this world destined for eternal life with you. Only for their love and their openness to life does that child, does that adult come into being. It is truly an awesome gift and responsibility. And not for nothing do we call it procreation, cooperation with you in the creation of a new human being, a new image of God destined for eternal life. Any other use of sexuality than in marriage in acts of love open to life is seriously sinful, whether it be an act by oneself, with someone of the same sex, with another person that is not married if we are not married, or with someone else that is married but not to us. And we should understand that all acts of impurity are of themselves mortal sins, because we need to protect that great gift of chastity, to live our sexuality in the way that you want it. And of course, acts of love in marriage that are closed to life are not love. Lord, you are the model of love, and you sealed your new covenant of love with your church by your death on the cross. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, says St. John. And you poured out to the last drop of blood and water your life, your spirit. You gave totally. When husbands and wives use contraception, they're not giving themselves totally. And then, as St. John Paul II says in Familiaris Consortio, the language of love is overlaid by a contradictory language, that of not giving oneself totally. Lord, you gave yourself totally. Love is a total self-giving without holding anything back, as happens in contraception. Lord, help all spouses to be open to life, to love each other completely as you have loved us. And what is more, the disordered use of sexuality destroys the capacity to love. The Pontifical Council for the Family document, The Truth and Meaning of Human Sexuality, says that. It says, it must never be forgotten that the disordered use of sex tends progressively to destroy the person's capacity to love by making pleasure, instead of sincere self-giving, the end of sexuality, and by reducing other persons to objects of one's own gratification. In this way, the meaning of true love between a man and a woman, love always open to life, is weakened, as well as the family itself. Moreover, this subsequently leads to disdain for the human life which could be conceived, which in some situations is then regarded as an evil that threatens personal pleasure. The trivialization of sexuality is among the principal factors which have led to contempt for new life. Only a true love is able to protect life. And how true that is, that the disordered use of sex tends progressively to destroy the person's capacity to love, because love is self-giving, is seeking the good of another. And in the disordered use of sexuality, we don't seek the good of another, we seek our own pleasure. And we can destroy that capacity to love truly, to give of oneself. It's a beautiful virtue. It's a joyful affirmation of love. It is not mere continence, a holding back. It is an act of love, both in those who are celibate, that is, not married, who give themselves to God in their totality, or within marriage, where husbands and wives give themselves to one another in that embrace of love. And chastity is self-dominion, is self-control. We open the Catechism of the Catholic Church to point 2339, where we read, chastity includes an apprenticeship in self-mastery, which is a training in human freedom. The alternative is clear. Either man governs his passions and finds peace, or he lets himself be dominated by them and becomes unhappy. People who live chastity have freedom, have self-control, self-dominion. People who can't control themselves, who are seeking pleasure in the wrong way, are not free. They have lost their freedom. The Catechism goes on, man's dignity, therefore, requires him to act out of conscious and free choice, as moved and drawn in a personal way from within, and not by blind impulses in himself or by mere external constraint. Man gains such dignity when, ridding himself of all slavery to the passions, he presses forward to his goal by freely choosing what is good and by his diligence and skill effectively secures for himself the means suited to this end. We don't want to be slaves of our passions, but people who act out of love, children of God. Bishop Fulton Sheen, in his book Three to Get Married, speaks of sex, which we have in common with animals, and love, which we have in common with God. And yes, we have sex in common with animals, and they use their sexuality guided by instinct. Human beings have that instinct too, but we also have intellect and free will to control how and when we use it. And Lord, help us to be moved by love, love for you, love for one another, to gain that self-mastery. And this, as the Catechism says, is a long and exacting work. The Catechism says in point 2342, one can never consider it acquired once and for all. It presupposes renewed effort at all stages of life. The effort required can be more intense in certain periods, such as when the personality is being formed during childhood and adolescence. But always there is that struggle for the single, for the married, for the young, for the old. The struggle will take different forms, but always there is that struggle. And as the Catechism says so wisely, one can never consider self-mastery acquired once and for all. And Lord, we must safeguard it and keep asking you for it, so that we use that great gift of sexuality according to right reason. And sexuality, properly used, the virtue of chastity, strengthens character. Saint Jose Maria writes in The Way, you, a doctor and apostle, write to me, we all know by experience that we can be chaste, living vigilantly, frequenting the sacraments, and stamping out the first sparks of passion before the fire can spread. And it so happens that among the chaste are found the finest men in every way, and among the lustful predominate the timid, the selfish, the treacherous, and the cruel, characters of little manliness. Well, Lord, help us to live chastity so that we can be amongst those people amongst whom are found the finest men and women in every way, people who have dominion over themselves, over that drive which you have given us, which is good, which moves us to get married, to have children, to bring them up properly. And chastity unites the soul with God. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. When we are pure, we can pray, we can talk with you, we can know you present, we can love you. It is truly a beautiful virtue. It unites us with you. We see you. And again, we go back to the Curé of Ars, who says, when the heart is pure, it cannot help loving, because it has found the source of love, which is God himself. And he also says, pure souls shall form a circle round our Lord, The purer we have been on earth, the nearer we shall be to him in heaven. But it's a difficult virtue to live. We all know that. It is not easy for anyone. But Lord, help us to live it. It's a virtue for everyone, not just for the single, not just for the married, a virtue for everyone. St. John Chrysostom, in a homily on Matthew's Gospel, says, "What do you want us to do? Go up into the mountains and become monks? What you are saying makes me want to cry. You think that modesty and chastity are just for monks? No. Christ laid down common laws for all of us. And so when he said, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully, he was not speaking to a monk, but to the man in the street. I do not forbid you to marry, nor do I forbid you to enjoy life. I only ask that you do this with temperance, not with impurity, not with countless sins. I do not lay it down as a law that you go into the mountains and out into the deserts. I want you to be good, modest, and chaste, even though you are in the middle of the world." How applicable these words of St. John Chrysostom are to our present day. To be chaste in the middle of the world, in the middle of this world which is so far from God in many aspects, where the world does not know the meaning of chastity. But we live it and we know it, and we help others to live it by our very example as well as by our word. How can we grow in this virtue? First of all, by growing in love for you. Chastity must be moved by love. If we don't love you, we're going to love ourselves. We're going to love our pleasure. We're going to seek that pleasure in a disordered way. The more we love you, the more easy it will be to live this virtue, this long and exacting work of acquiring self-mastery. And always to realize it will be difficult. And therefore we need to ask God for it, and never to feel that we have acquired the virtue once and for all, as the Catechism says. We go back to another father of the Church, Saint Jerome, who says, "If the Apostle Paul, vessel of election and destined for the gospel of Christ, felt the sting of the flesh and the attraction of vices, and for that reason chastised his body and submitted it to servitude, if in spite of that effort he saw another law in his members that warred against the law of his spirit and made him a prisoner of sin, if after suffering nakedness, going without food, hunger, imprisonment, and scourging, he turns against himself and cries out, 'Poor man that I am, who will free me from this body of death?' Do you imagine that you ought to feel sure of yourself?" The great Saint Paul had to struggle. He didn't feel sure of himself. He cried out, "Who will free me from this body of death?" And Lord, help us to be humble. Help us to be realistic, to know that this is a lifelong struggle. It helps us, too, to remember that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. We open the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians to the 6th chapter, where we read, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Not only the soul is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the body too. This is the dignity of the human body. But we defile it when we seek pleasure through impure acts. Lord, help us to remember we are your temple. You dwell within us. Let us make you happy to dwell in us, that we don't reject you, that we don't defile you, by impurity. And then prayer, to ask for chastity. It is always a difficult virtue. And we go to Saint Augustine, who says in his Confessions, "I thought that continence arose from one's own powers, which I did not recognize in myself. I was foolish enough not to know that no one can be continent unless you grant it. For you would surely have granted it if my inner groaning had reached your ears, and I, with firm faith, had cast my cares on you." Well, Lord, help us to ask you for this important virtue. We read too in the way of Saint Jose Maria, "Holy purity is given by God when it is asked for with humility." And maybe we can ask God for it every day. Lord, help me today to be chaste, especially if we are struggling more to live this virtue. And then to live it, it helps very much to live the virtue of temperance in those other pleasures, especially the pleasure of eating. St. John Cassian says, "Any food excessive to the body's needs eventually stimulates impurity. A soul in this position, sated with food, cannot wear the bridle of temperance. So it is not just wine that intoxicates the mind. Any kind of excessive eating renders it dull and easily influenced and completely undermines its purity and integrity." And again, we open the way to that very short point of Saint Jose Maria, overeating is the forerunner of impurity. If we give in any area of the search for pleasure, whether it be food or drink or reading or listening to music, and we can't control ourselves there, how will we control ourselves in the area of chastity? And then to show lots of love for those around us. And if one is married, much love for one's spouse. To love that person, to court that person, as one courts the other before they get married, to continue, and St. Jose Maria is the one that gives us this advice, continue courting your spouse all the days of your life, showing those little details of love, the flowers, going out to eat, the phone calls, all of the things that one knows the other likes, then love grows, and then we're not inclined to seek love, to look at other people. And two, as St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, to render the marriage debt. And we read in the 7th chapter of his first letter to the Corinthians, "The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not rule over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not rule over his own body, but the wife does. Do not refuse one another, except perhaps by agreement for a season, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, lest Satan tempt you through lack of self-control." It is so important for husbands and wives to express their love in that intimate way of the marriage act. And if they don't feel like it particularly, if they are tired and the other spouse is asking, then to say yes. It's the best penance one can do, and it strengthens love. It is one of the languages of love. And then, two, to live chastity, we must live that accompanying virtue of modesty. The Catechism says in point 2521, "Purity requires modesty, an integral part of temperance. Modesty protects the intimate center of the person. It means refusing to unveil what should remain hidden. It is ordered to chastity, to whose sensitivity it bears witness. It guides how one looks at others and behaves toward them in conformity with the dignity of persons and their solidarity. It protects the intimate center of the person, refusing to unveil what should remain hidden. And this regards the area of clothing, that we dress modestly. It also regards our speech, that we not unveil what should be kept hidden about our life. We see people who exude this virtue of modesty, and they uplift us. They draw us closer to God. And there are others that perhaps are sensuous, and they drag us down. They inspire impure thoughts. Lord, help us in this society, which is so sex-ridden, to live this important virtue of chastity, to help others by our dress, by our conversation, by all manner of our behavior. And then that we avoid seeking those pleasures in other areas of reading, of what we might watch on television, of what we might access on the internet, because there is so much that can draw us away from you, drag us down, incite the passions. And it is so difficult to live this virtue then, that we live this virtue of chastity. And as St. Jose Maria says, stamping out the first sparks of passion before the fire can spread. When it is just that first thought, then we can control it. Then we can get rid of it. And Lord, help us to reject those temptations immediately. To go to Our Lady, Mother most pure, Mother most chaste, Mother inviolate, Mother undefiled. Help me. And then to distract the mind to something else that truly attracts it, so that we leave that impure thought, that impure temptation behind us. When we live this way, then we give great hope and great example to other people who are truly struggling to live it. It is not an easy virtue, and at the present time, it is perhaps harder, but precisely for that reason, we want to live it, to be those saints that you want us to be. And St. Paul writes to the Philippians, "Be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." And he exhorts the people of Philippi to live that virtue in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, that they shine as lights in the world. Lord, help us to do that. In our own time, where this virtue is perhaps a little bit harder to live than in other times, to be lights to the world, and Mary, our Mother, Mother most pure, Mother most chaste, Mother inviolate, Mother undefiled, Mother most beautiful, as you live this virtue in your perverse and corrupt generation, help us to live chastity. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.